Thank you, sir. The recording is ready.
Thank you very much. Okay. As we always say, the meeting's recorded and transcribed. Please identify yourself when you speak. Remember, if you're using a speakerphone, to take it off speaker when you're speaking, it'll come through clear. I've made a few changes to the agenda that we'll go through, and I don't think I want to spend a lot of time on agenda changes, but I did move the other names at the second level up at the beginning because Caroline and both at Caroline and Tamara both requested that one be moved up, so that's been done. Any other needed changes on the agenda? Okay. Found out just this morning that the Dr. Kung Chung Lu, the commissioner from National Communications Commission, Distinct Economy of Taiwan, is not a GAC liaison. He's participating as an individual. I did send his contact information around to the group. He won't be able to join us because of it's the middle of the night in Taiwan. But please feel free to email him if it's appropriate for your particular report that you're working on. If you'd like some input from him, I sent him a lot of information. Well, a lot. I tried to narrow it down. I tried to over the weekend give him enough information to help him come up to speed quickly. Without inundating them with an inordinate amount of stuff. But at this late stage, that's going to be kind of hard. Anyway, his email is on the new contact list that I also sent out, so everybody should have that. Now, our main item today
I think we just need to have a bit of clarity. When you say we basically have, as I understand it, a government person, but they are participating as an individual and in their individual capacity.
Right, right.
Okay, so keeping that in mind, we have not received a formal comment from the GAC on whether there will be a GAC liaison?
That is correct.
Okay.
When I first heard of him, I responded, and that was, I think, on Friday, and, of course, it would have been weekend for him, asking whether he was the GAC liaison. I just got the response this morning that he was not. He CC'd Suzanne Sen in his response to me. I replied to both of them and said that Suzanne had already told us that she wasn't going to be able to do it because he had suggested that she should be the liaison. So anyway, that's where that is. So we really don't have a GAC liaison as yet, Marilyn. Okay, and looks like we won't. So we'll see how that works out, and we'll talk about that in our session on Saturday in Lisbon. Okay, so our main agenda today is to review the reports, in particular, we want to focus on the role of the reserve names. What I'd like each person to do when you go over your reports is to give a very brief report about any changes you've made to the report, any new information, background, info, resources, et cetera, that you may have added. Don't need a lot of detail there. We can all go back and look at what you did or ask questions. I would like you to then, after that, focus primarily on the role and anything you've done with expert consultations. Again, brief detail, because we can go back and read what's in the latest version of your report. I want the whole group to discuss, in particular, the role and see if we have any input for the writers of the report, because I'd like to get those near final. And then if you have made some straw recommendations, and come to rough consensus on any, I would like you to go over those. How much discussion we'll have on that today remains to be seen because we need to get through all of the reports, but we may have some brief comments from the total group in that regard as we have time. So we're going to start off with the one that's the other names at the second level, as I previously indicated, and so I would like Caroline Greer to start off there, and other members of the subgroup for that, which include Tamara and Mike Rodenbaugh, who I don't think is on unless he's joined since I last looked. And if Caroline, you would start off, please.
Yeah. Thanks, Chuck, and thanks for bumping us up the agenda a little bit. Our group had three categories to review, and I've just sent through the latest report. You've seen several reiterations of this. We've tried to reach a consensus on each of them and having some difficulties in reaching flat agreement. So I think tomorrow you may say if you agree with me, but I think we've probably gone as far as we can at this stage in terms of consensus.
I think that's right. We haven't really heard from Mike on all of the issues. Like what, number three, section C, and I'm not quite sure what he thinks on that one.
Yeah.
But as far as we've been able to, you know, coordinate, I think that that's right.
Yeah, yeah, we've probably gone as far as we can with the, you know, in the absence of getting any further feedback from the entire group. Okay, so looking at the first category, GKLD strings, this one we've discussed several times, and the role of the reservation requirement seems to have been to avoid market confusion in having double TLD strings, and so com.net or mobi.info, that sort of thing. We've changed the straw recommendation here. We had originally been saying that we should retain this reservation requirement, and I'll confess that part of that was my own concerns. I mean, .mobi has had several market confusion issues with some of our addresses, so that was my initial view. We did do some further consultation with the registry constituency and a couple of other people. I still have one or two small concerns, but in the interest of just consensus building, we've now reached the consensus that we should remove this provision completely. Partly from looking at it from a pragmatic approach, and that's given that there'll be new TLDs coming aboard in the future in quite a large number, this may become unmanageable and it's perhaps overly restrictive. So we recommend that we remove that reservation requirement.
And everybody should understand this wasn't a general reservation requirement anyway. This particular, or was it? Was it covered in every agreement?
It was that the newer agreements then added a hyperlink.
Oh, that's right. Okay, my mistake. Yeah, that's correct. All these are blending together in my head. So, okay. Now, did you get any feedback from GTLD registries in regard to that recommendation?
We did. I mean, a small amount of feedback, partly because of the time constraints.
Sure.
And what I did receive back was very varied. Some people thought that we should remove it, and some people thought that should we keep it, and some people didn't really care an awful lot. So it's been a little bit all over the place. But, you know, we've kind of come to an agreement as a subgroup that perhaps look to removing it.
Okay. Let me open it up to the full group to see if you have any comments, and please keep them brief because we have a lot to cover.
It's Marilyn, Chuck. I just have a question.
Go ahead.
My question is why there's no need at all for consultation with experts, and that may mean, you know, even just the ICANN staff who are involved in this. This says none required.
I should perhaps update that to say that we did consult, albeit in a small way, with the registry constituency. Patrick and I did have a conversation as well about this. Patrick, are you on the line?
Yeah, I was on you.
Yeah. It was a fairly informal discussion, mm-hmm. So there was no kind of formal.
So please add that information
yeah.
to the consultation
yeah.
with
yeah.
experts. That would be very helpful.
Yeah, my apologies.
And I just want to note, you also should note that it is consultation with the registries as opposed to with experts. It isn't that they're not necessarily expert on this topic, but I think up to now we've sort of said technical experts. So you may just want to be clear on who you had the informal consultations
oh.
with.
Yeah, and Marilyn, what are you thinking in terms of a technical expert in regard to this?
I'm just thinking that at some point, Chuck, we're going to have to put this out for public comment, or the council will have to put it out for public comment,
mm-hmm.
and people are going to look at this and say, who was consulted? And just making it easy to understand will be more helpful on the questions that get asked for whoever, you know, whatever further work is done, okay, this has already been done, or this hasn't been done.
I understand that. What I'm asking is who would be a technical expert in regard to this. It's not clear to me.
Or maybe the question is it really a technical question as opposed to a confusingly similar
yeah,
question?
Yeah, and I think that's where I'm going.
Exactly, and that's where I am as well. It's not necessarily a technical question, but it might be a concern about will this create a problem for users in terms of confusingly similar, and then the answer to that is probably something like conversations with ccTLD managers and with other gTLD registry managers indicate that given that legacy names were not reserved, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
And of course, we need to also keep in mind that many of the ccTLDs do have COM or something similar at the second level right now.
A large number of them have the original 7 where they could or some variation, that's right.
Yeah.
Chuck, this is Mike Glade, and not only is it, if you will, the original legacy names, but also some of the 2000 proof of concept as well. Just to note, for example, BR actually has a co-op.br that was added after the 2000 proof of concept.
Yeah, you know, Caroline, not to add, it's Marilyn again. I think actually maybe just a bit of this discussion might be summarized in your background if it's not covered elsewhere, because it's valid information for, you know, the next round of looking at this and supporting your straw recommendation.
Okay.
Chuck, this is Patrick. Can I add something?
Sure.
The RSTEP report on the GNR proposal addressed this very issue of TLD.TLD and potential confusion. So I'll send a note to Caroline to add a reference to that report and the research that was done.
And what can you give us a quick synopsis of what was said, concluded there?
There's no technical issue related to TLD.TLD strings.
Okay, so that's very good information to have in the report. Thank you for that, Patrick. That's good. And Caroline, what I would suggest is that you send out to the registry constituency list, since you can do that readily, communicate what this recommendation says and just ask for feedback not later than close of business on Wednesday so we can see. And the reason I'm doing that is not so much that they're experts as they are the ones that may be directly impacted.
Yeah.
And give them a little rationale if you can. You may just want to cut and paste some stuff in terms of the work of your group in this regard and how you came up with this position and so forth. I think that would be helpful since they are the ones that are directly impacted.
Chuck, this is Mike Pelage. If I could just add one more, I think, relevant data point on this discussion here with regard to confusion. If you looked at the original draft WIPO2 second domain name report, okay. One of the original drafts called for a reservation of all the two-letter country codes. They were basically, and again, we're looking at this in other areas, but they actually removed that from the recommendation.
Removed what, Mike?
The reservation that the two-letter country codes all needed to be reserved.
Oh, okay. Okay. At the second level.
At the second, yeah. What their final recommendation in paragraph 293 is if they are to be registered as domain names, it is recommended that this be done in a manner that minimizes the potential for confusion.
Okay.
So now what happens is, with regard to two letters, I appreciate the IANA report that says we probably want to reserve the two letters at the top space should there ever be a new country that's recognized. But what I do think is important is that the language it talks about minimizing the potential for confusion. And perhaps if the recommendation is to allow these TLDs to be registered, perhaps there may be some additional language that precludes them from being used in a way that would create potential confusion with the existing registry operator. So, for example, if in fact you were to allow info.mobi to be registered. You know, there should be some prohibition, I think, of someone trying to set up, if you will, a pseudo-registry and provide third-level domain name registrations that might cause existing confusion with a registry operator.
This is Tim. I'd like to get in the queue on that.
Go ahead. Jump right in, Tim.
Well, you know, Mike, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but I don't necessarily agree for a couple reasons. One, you know, do we want to get ICANN involved outside of, then now we're talking about getting ICANN involved at the third level, which I don't think is a good idea. And also there's already, I don't know how many of those that are already set up. So you've got us.com, you've got com.com. So, you know, org.uk, you've got just numerous examples of these in the CCTLDs, plus some in the GTLDs. I don't see any evidence where they're causing any problem, confusion, or I think that would need to be looked at further before we can say we should make that recommendation.
Okay, and if you want, Tim, I mean, the INTA subgroup on the International Trademark Association, our internet subgroup, is actually looking at some of those third-level registration practices. So, again, I think where we're looking at is somewhat along the lines of what WIPO's doing. And perhaps this goes back to Marilyn's question. Is it a really technical thing, or perhaps is it more of a legal issue? And again, how these reservations originally came into place, you know, back when Louis was drafting these contracts in, you know, 99, 2000, was within the context of some of the CCs, the UK.coms, some of the confusion that arose there. So I agree that there are problems out there. I guess the question I'm raising is, we've somewhat mitigated that potential problem from proliferating. If we remove this reservation, do we then create an incentive for that to happen? So.
Okay. All right, and we'll talk about the recommendations again. Caroline, did you have any questions of any other, regarding any of the comments, or Tamara?
No, I think I'll try and capture some of those things, the consultation and the report.
Good.
Yeah, not as to Section A. I don't, although it would be helpful to have it all captured on the report.
Okay, and you'll, of course, be able to get the MP3 recording and transcript to get the some of the words that people said, so that should be helpful. Let's move on to Section B of your report, the registry-specific names. Go ahead, Caroline.
Okay, registry-specific names, such as .biz and .info have in their agreements. Really, there's nearly like a Category A and B within this. Category A being words and phrases associated with day-to-day operations of a registry, such as registrars.info. Category B being name reservations relating to the actual entity's name, such as affiliates.info. And we consulted with .biz and .info. We still have to receive information back from .biz, so that's still outstanding. As regards the straw recommendation, we did not reach consensus here. Last week, if you recall, we recommended that we should defer to the work of the PRO working group. Mike, I think, had particular views on this issue. I kind of disagree with that. I'm not sure that I see any particular problem with registries proposing these reservations as .biz and .info did during their contract negotiations and the appropriate comments period applies there. I don't see any real need to defer to the PRO working group. I don't think that there's any real rights being infringed here. Although I've asked Mike to try and clarify why he feels so strongly in this matter, and I haven't got any real clarification as yet.
Tamara, can you add anything there?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that we should come to some, you know, a final recommendation on this, and whether we settle on it or the PRO working group settle on it, I don't know that it's something that should be left to contractual decision. It seems like this should be standardized.
Why is that? That's what I guess I'm not understanding.
I feel like
either.
Either it should be reserved to because an overall decision group consensus is made to protect the registry or not. I mean, as a group, we should be able to decide whether the registry really needs protection or not. And
that
if not, then why should anybody be able to contractually reserve it? And if there are strong reasons as to why it should be reserved and why should anybody be able to contractually not reserve it. So
yeah,
I think part of the problem, right, was that nobody could find the historical reasons as to why this should be reserved. And if this is reserved, why other names wouldn't be reserved.
And Chuck, can you put me in the queue?
Go ahead and jump in, Merle.
So let me see if I can identify with everything that's been said so far and make a comment.
Originally, when I first started doing research on the issue of reserved names, I was startled to see the disparity between the names that are registered by the registry, and it kind of didn't make sense to me. And I'm not sure that it does. I do think there needs to be, at a minimum, a standard approach to how names are put into reserve status that includes a public comment period. And I don't think, just as an idea, I don't think that names that go into reserve status ought to be releasable by the registry, so they shouldn't be able to be converted. And I'll make a comment later about why I think that creating something called premium names is actually not the same thing as a reserve list. So as I understand reserve list, unless it's specified that there's a process to release it, it can't be released. So then there comes the question of, should a registry be able to reserve names that would normally be in the marketplace and available for registration and use by others? And I would say there needs to be some kind of a process to make sure that that is understood, is visible, and is accepted. But I think it could be a framework that includes posting the list for public comment.
I guess one question I have is that I think in each of these, and Caroline, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but in each of these cases, were not these lists of names a part of the original proposal for the registry operator and were subject to public comment?
That's right.
What's wrong with that process?
But, Chuck, this is Mike. I don't think that's accurate. I mean,
That's not accurate, Mike.
The context of a premium name reserve process was set.
Okay, let's not talk about premium names.
Okay, well, let's sit there and look at this in the context of dot co-op.
Okay.
Now, later on in this group, you can see the statement regarding some of the registry reserve names. Okay, when the contract was approved by ICANN, there was no specific reservation of what a reserve name was. Okay, what the co-op board did was, in connection with sectorial names within the cooperative community and within a list of geographic regions in which there's a strong co-op presence, the co-op board, in connection with the authority vested to it, delegated to it under its charter, reserved these names. And what it does is, since it reserved these names, it has been, if you will, allocating them within a process which it set forward. It was not, if you will, specifically enumerated. Here are the list of names that we are proposing to reserve or such as part of the application process. It's just not. So what happens is, I just want to correct that, what I think is an important fact. Getting back to Marilyn's comment, I agree with her on a couple of points. If you recall our very first call, I questioned the very legal interpretation of what is a reserve name. To me, a reserve name is something that ICANN states as a matter of contractual law should not be allocated, prohibits the registry from allocating those names to third parties. If you look at the MOBI premium name process, if you look at the community sector name process within .coop, ICANN is not telling us that we can't do this. What the registry is doing is the registry is making the determination of how to allocate these names in a process by which the community, which it is supposed to serve, is benefited, while at the same time recognizing that it is entitled to make certain business decisions which are not prohibited under contract by ICANN. That's, so I agree with Maryland, and part of this, if you will, the affiliates' names, the fact that they are prohibited under contract or the biz names is kind of an anomaly. To me, you know, I think it would be much cleaner from a contractual interpretation standpoint to just allow the registries to, you know, if they want to reserve those names, let them go ahead and reserve them. But they could do that within the course of their business operations, not as part of a mandate through a contract with ICANN.
So this is Tim. Can I get in with you?
Go ahead, Tim.
I guess I kind of agree with Mike, I think, for the most part. In fact, Info, you know, in their statement in the report, now they make a distinction between two types of those names. One is the names that stay with the registry operator, or stay with ICANN, however you want to put it. If they should, if the operation of Info should move to someone else, and then a list of names that stay with affiliates because they're more specific to the business entity of affiliates. But so I always kind of wondered why we called those reserve names anyway, the latter ones. Affiliates is basically the registrant of those domain names and can use them in their business. And so I guess my question is, should they just be, somehow not considered reserved names? I mean, these are just names that affiliates registered for its own use in its business operations, and not refer to those as reserved names.
Is that the way these are handled, Caroline? Are they, in this category, are they actually registered by the registry?
No. Affiliates, they were going off to check, but Scott did not think any at all
okay.
were registered. Perhaps,
but that could be done, I suppose, if that was. And by the way, that's the way it worked for .com and .net and originally with .org. We were allowed to register some names that were business specific, and we just had to identify those, and we did. We show them in a report every month, you know, that we did that. So there are other options, and that may be a way of handling this category differently. Does that deal with the concerns, though, Tamara, that you and Mike have?
Well, I can't speak for Mike. I will say that, you know, as of last week and all through this week, the recommendation that was on here was that the TRO working group handle this. And so I think Mike was working under that assumption. Last night at 10:30 p.m. my time, which is, you know, 1:30 a.m. most East Coast people time, Caroline sent out this new version.
I did send the email on Friday. I was seeking input from you and Mike on Friday evening. And
yeah, but I'm just saying Mike, I'm sure, hasn't seen this version.
Yeah, probably.
So, you know, I can't speak to Mike. I'm sure he's operating under the assumption, not being on this call, that it was going to the PRO working group.
Chuck, it's Marilyn, though. I think we have to make a distinction. I mean, looking at the long list, there's a difference between a registry reserving a name that they're going to use for registry purposes and a registry reserving a long list of names that are not going to be used, and they're not going to be released, and they're not going to be used for the registry. And
I understand that.
And I'm not raising a big objection to anything other than an effective public comment process, because registries, you know, I, for instance, see that a registry wants to reserve 5,000 names, and it makes the hair on the back of my neck raise. What's those 5,000 names reserved for?
Yeah.
They may be reserved for very good reasons, you know, but what?
Marilyn, this is Mike.
Hold on a second, Mike.
Sure.
So what you're saying, Marilyn, is that, you know, in cases where there should be a public comment period on the names that they want to reserve, they should explain their rationale for doing that and then have the public comment period, and I suppose that could be part of the application process, or if some subsequent suggestions for reservations happen, it could occur later. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's going in the right direction. If we just talked about not reserving the names of the legacy, the proof of concept round, the next round, and future GTLDs at the second level. So
Right. Why
does it make sense then that we would let a registry reserve every form of a word that has the name of their registry in it at the second level?
Yeah, no, I hear you. It sounds like there's a recommendation that should be able we should be able to develop out of this to come up with something that may not be may bring both sides together if there are two sides. This doesn't sound like too hard a thing to deal with. I think we have to be careful, make sure we stay within our statement of work, and I'm not sure we're dealing with any big problems on this one, so I hate spending too much time on this particular issue, but at the same time, we need to come up with a recommendation that the group can support. How can we work towards that? It seems like some things have been suggested that might be in that actually combine elements, and I'm not sure we're protecting the rights of others. Do we really know that? I guess some of these are protecting a registry's rights of their own name. So in that sense, if they just registered them like everybody else has to do, they could do that. And it seems like allowing them to do that up front, you know, it certainly happened in the past, but it's got to be communicated and open to public comment. Mike Pledge, I'm sorry.
Tim would like to get in the queue, too.
Thanks,
Chuck. And
Greg Shatton, I'd like to get in the queue also.
Okay.
I think, again, we're struggling here with reservation versus, if you will, allocation. Again, let's look at .coop with the community sector names. It is not .coop's intention not to release these names. We just want to make sure that when these names are released, they're released to an entity or organization that will best serve the intended purpose of the cooperative community. Okay? Now, to me, that's, you know, as I said, that's .coop. As someone who worked, with .mobi and their premium name allocation as well, it was along those same lines. They were a group of names that were, as Carolyn's statement said, were intended to be allocated in a way best to serve the community. Now, there will be some cynics that will say, well, it's also putting money in the registry's pocket. Sorry if, you know, that.
But you see, both of the things you said to me are business model issues.
I guess that's exactly the case. Is they aren't business model issues. And what happens is, I agree with Marilyn. If a registry wants to reserve a name, prevent it from being allocated, yes, there needs to be a process. Okay, do not disagree. But if it is just a business case of how a registry, the methods, processes of how they are going to be allocated, I don't think that falls within the context of this reservation. Now, where I will agree with Tamara and Mike on this is that in any allocation of a name, there needs to be suitable protection to prevent abusive registrations, and that's in the Sunrise, the .mobi premium names, there was a process with WIPO whereby there were mechanisms to make sure that the rights of others were protected. Not only that, but in the case of all ICANN GTLD domain name registrations, the UDRP is a mechanism that exists. So there are multiple layers of protection to protect the rights of others in the allocation. So I guess that's what I struggle with is that, unfortunately, names that a registry seeks to allocate within its business model somehow have been brought into this event horizon of the black hole known as reserve names. And that's what I've struggled with from the very first call and continue to struggle with.
Okay. All right, good. Tim Ruiz?
Yeah, and then, Chuck, I want to ask a follow-up question to Marilyn.
Okay. Go ahead, Tim.
Okay. Yeah, I was just, as far as recommendations are concerned, do we have to get too deep into this, and couldn't we instead, one of our recommendations is that names used within, that are specific to the registrar's business or for business use, that perhaps we recommend that should be looked at, that perhaps that's an area of that maybe needs some policy work, and then that the pro working group outcome might affect how that proceeds. But I'm not sure just kind of
I think you're on the right track.
Sidestepping the issue by referring it to the PR, I'm not sure they would appreciate that, and I'm not sure that's the right route to go.
Yeah, and then also I confess that I personally am having trouble connecting the pro working group with reserve names. But certainly as it gets into protecting rights of others, if that's the purpose of some of these, something could be related there. But I think your point's well taken, Tim, and I think that this probably is an area where our recommendation is going to have to be, it's not going to be a final one, but rather one that further work be done on this and point out some of the issues that we grappled with and that we would encourage another working group or policy group or whatever it might be to pursue this beyond what we were able to do. I think, Caroline, that's probably as much as has been said on this, that that's probably the kind of recommendation that's going to need to come out of this one. Any disagreement on that?
No.
Okay. Greg?
I guess I just wanted to point out that these go beyond these two TLDs and into the others. In the Appendix X to the older version of the registry agreement. So in .names, or rather .pros Appendix X, they've reserved about 300 names that would stay with the registry in the event of reassignment, and then another 96 that would stay with the registry operator in the event of reassignment, including Baltimore.
Yeah.
So they may not... I guess the relationship to the pro working group is that in some cases they're protecting the rights of others, by which in this case they mean themselves. But for some of the other ones, it's not clear that these are protecting anybody's rights, but perhaps just taking names out of circulation for kind of a wide variety of reasons. And one of the things I thought that we could do here is put some sort of parameters around those reasons. Obviously, within any parameters, different results can occur and be negotiated, but right now it's kind of a tabula rasa each time a registry approaches this type of issue, and you know, it's just that kind of tabula rasa that I think I for one would like to see avoided, at least
a
framework.
That. Yeah, I understand that, but I also understand that we want to create innovation and competition. And the more parameters and the more guidelines and the more ways we standardize everything, and I'm not talking about cases where there's really a clear need for standardization, the less innovation, the less creativity, the less competition you're going to really have. Everybody, all of them are going to look alike. And I don't think that's healthy for the industry either. But let's go on to Marilyn.
Chuck.
I'm not going to debate Chuck on this last point, but Chuck, from a business user perspective, I think we're looking for a framework of appropriate consistency, and I use that modifier purposely.
That's okay. I think that sounds okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to balance it, though.
I hear you, but you know, I'm just saying that I'll go on to the point I was going to make. I think that we need to be careful not to leave the group either. So explaining the consequences that to some having too many parameters or guidelines, there's a fear that it would result in less innovation. There's another aspect, and that is, in fact, without some parameters and guidelines, there can be no innovation if too large a group of names are locked up.
Yeah, okay.
I agree with your idea that further work is needed. I agree with, I think, Greg's suggestion that looking for parameters of, you know, the general framework, and I also think that there has to be a process identified. If a name is on a reserve status, then there has to be a process agreed on how it gets unreserved, not just that the registries initially put it on reserve and then they decide to release it by whatever mechanism they want to release it, as opposed to a business model which says, part of my business model is to have a set of premium names.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear from the beginning I'm going to have a unique approach to allocating and releasing those names.
Right, and that's part of the overall proposal and the public comments that go into that, et cetera. And they probably built their whole financial model around that.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's a very good distinction. Let me ask everybody a question. With regard to definition of reserve names, now Mike Pelage said that it's names, I think, and Marilyn, you may have said this too, that can't be released. And yet we really have probably two categories of reserve names if we really eliminate the business model ones. One of them is names that, unless we change the contractual terms, they can never be registered. And then we have another category of names that can be released under certain circumstances.
Right.
Now, the two-character second level is one example of that.
Mm-hmm.
So are we okay with accepting both of those as reserve names, or do we want to distinguish between those?
Well, can I
add another category? Because
sure.
What I see is that there are actually three categories. One is three categories of reserved names. One, and maybe categories is the wrong word, but there's the idea that it's reserved and it can never be released, right, Chuck?
Yeah, never, understanding that never could always be changed. But
right.
Yeah, that's the basic understanding.
Okay.
I think so.
There's the category that is on the reserve list, but if there is but it says on the reserve list that if you jump through the following hoops and get the following kinds of agreements, this category of name can be released. Right?
Yes, that's correct.
Thirdly, there's a category of names that are determined to be in reserve status via being identified in an RFC.
Okay.
And
how is that different than the first category?
It may be the same to you because you're very savvy, but I don't know that it is visible or transparent to the non-sophisticated ICANite. So the process for how it made it into reserve. So if I am a new registry applicant and I am looking for a single approach to figure out what names, what labels are going to be problematic, right now I'd have to read a bunch of RFCs, read Appendix 6, and link to the IANA link, I think.
Yeah, okay. Well, and, of course, one of our tasks, of course, is to make some recommendations as to what names should be reserved, which would include those. And so an applicant for a new TLD would know right up front what those are.
But as I read the RFCs, and Patrick is going to have to help me with this, I think some of the RFCs imply that categories of names are reserved as opposed to explicitly saying they're reserved.
Yeah, and of course, RFCs typically are not law. They're standards or guidelines, depending on what level of RFC it is. But I guess I'm not seeing the advantage of the third category more than just a subset of the first category, Marilyn. I don't have a problem with it.
No, Chuck, I'm happy with it as a subcategory of the first category. I just think it needs to be explained in.
Yeah, that's good. I appreciate that. I agree with you. Making that clear would be very helpful. Okay, Caroline, do you have enough direction on this one, you think, you and Tamara?
Yeah, I think tomorrow we'll regroup and
good, I think it's going to be one of these where, hey, this one needs more work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, going on then to the category C, which is other names reserved at the second level. Here's where the premium names, the .name reservations, the .coop reservations, .travel, and .jobs all have some. Based on the discussion I've heard, it sounds like this may be a category that really doesn't fit our statement of work. And I'm throwing that out, and I welcome a reaction to that. But is this a category that is very closely related to the business model? Their whole financial model may have been built on this, or as they grow, like .name's a good example, they've learned a lot of things as they've gone along, so there's been some changes over time. But they're very closely business-related, and I think they all were subject to public comment at some time. Is this maybe a category that doesn't – is this that third category – that's the wrong terminology, Marilyn. You were suggesting – you were talking about these as being kind of a separate ballpark than all the rest we're talking about.
I don't think that a premium name category is within our statement of work.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
I do think that the premium name category deserves explanation and a statement that we don't think it fits within our statement of work.
Oh, that's a good suggestion.
And then I think we would want to say, we would want to note somewhere that deserved name is different than a business model where a registry proposes a unique approach to release an allocation of a particular category of names. And then use this as the two examples.
Okay.
Something like that.
And so in that case, would we be recommending that they do examine premium names and just form a different working group to work on that?
Is that really – why would we do that? I guess I'm not sure. What are you trying to accomplish?
I guess I still think that recommendations need to be made regarding premium names, whether we make them or another working group examines them and makes them.
Well, first of all, the premium names is unique to one registry model that I'm aware of right now, okay? Keep in mind that direction given to regarding the February 06 PDP by ICANN's general counsel was, you don't focus on one particular registry. We need to be talking about issues that go across the board to GTLD registries. And so focusing on one that's unique to one or two, in this case one, specific registry, I'm not sure that's really in our
scope of
work.
What do you mean it's only specific to one registry? What one registry would that be?
Well, in this case,
.mobi.
It's not specific to that travel or that co-op or that name?
Do they have premium names?
Yeah. That travel definitely does. And they haven't released any of them for 2 years, so they've effectively become reserve names.
Okay. And what is the problem with that?
Can I add something about that travel?
Tim, are back in the queue.
With Greg Chapman in the queue, please.
Blaze in the queue.
I'd like Tamara, though, to help me. I'm asking these questions not to be difficult, Tamara. I'm having trouble understanding.
Yeah, I guess I'm just – well, first of all, I was surprised by the statement that you felt it's just one registry premium names, since so many do.
So many do. I've heard two now. Travel and Mobi. Is there another one?
Dot co-op.
Dot co-op. Mike, could you speak to that? Does dot co-op have premium names?
Put it this way. If you want, I could just read the statement. it's rather succinct. We have what we call community names that have been reserved. In my statement in this section, I actually specify how we went about, initially allocating them, how some of those names were then re-released, and what we do in allocating them. So it's right there. Unlike other entities that, choose to make a premium, i.e. a value above what a normal registration would cost. .co-op just provides the name at the baseline cost. So that's a nonprofit business model, which in accordance with the 2000 rounds, .co-op was required to be versus the other for-profit entity registry operators that they're allowed to make profit. And just to be sure, I would like to just sit there and read the following is. And this is contained in my statement. Successful adoption and utilization of key names are the building blocks upon which the long-term success or branding of any registry is based. Outside those domain names that are explicitly reserved from allocation by ICANN, .coop believes it is important that each registry is to be provided the flexibility to make business determinations in connection with registry or sponsored reserve names, provided that such processes are fair and equitable. And as I stated before, there is the UDRP. We do value protecting the rights of others, but we believe that a registry should have some flexibility in how they run their business. I don't think a one size fits all is important.
And I don't think that I've proposed a one size fits all at all. But, I mean, regardless of whether, you know, .mobi and .travel, I mean, let's not even get into the discussion of right now whether there's more than two or not. I mean, we're not putting this committee together and making recommendations to fix what's already been done, right? We're making the recommendations regarding what will happen going forward, and there could be 100 more that propose premium names going forward. So I don't think that what now is necessarily the relevant issue.
But help me understand,
Chuck,
what the problem is with that.
Well, Chuck, it's Marilyn. Can I make a proposal, though? You see, I think that what Tamara has done is identify for us that we're all learning in this process. And so what we've learned is that there actually are a number of registries who have a form of other name reserved at the second level for different reasons in each of the registries.
Right.
Tamara, is that right? Would that be right?
That's correct. Yeah.
And so,
I would argue that they're reserved. I wouldn't call them reserved names, and I don't see them falling into our statement of work.
I hear you, Tim, but here's what I'm hearing, and this is what makes me nervous. I'm all for flexibility for the registry. I'm not for randomness, and I don't like surprises. So if, in fact, these are reserved...
It's all the same, Marilyn. I'm all for flexibility
as
well, which is why I propose...
Right. So,
I don't disagree. I'm just asking whether that's within the purview of this working group or if that's something that should be taken outside of it.
And Tim, my proposal is, in fact, I think this does deserve just a little more work, as Tamara has proposed, to ask if a number of... So the question is really fair. Is this second category being used, being presented as a reserve category, and the names are never going to be allocated, or in fact is it something else and there needs to be a further process? So I think it's fair to say examining that question can be done by this group. It's just a little more work by Tamara's group.
I'll come back to what I said before. We want innovation and we want people to do things differently, and yet we want to tie their hands. That doesn't make sense to me.
But if the group
wants to recommend that more work be done on this, we obviously will make that recommendation. Nobody has convinced me yet that there's a need for that, but that's my own personal view. And I'm just one person on
the group. Chuck, by the way, the recommendation of the group after completing the rest of the work should be the use of the phrase reserved name should not be applied to the following kinds of examples.
And I guess that's where I'm struggling.
I would agree with that.
Thank you, Marilyn, and that's what I raised on our very first call.
That's very well said. it seems to me that when new TLDs are proposed, when they propose these special categories of names that we won't call reserve names, okay, that should be in their proposal, and there should be, and there will be, public comment period. It sounds like what some are asking for is more than that. Is that correct?
Well, it's Marilyn, so
about what I'm looking for. I want to know at the time the proposal is made if the names are ever intended to be allocated, or if they in fact are in this special category that I think a lot of the .info names are in.
Yeah, that's different. I agree with you on that. That's different. But I think in these various categories, .jobs, .coop, .mobi, .travel, I think they did propose what they were going to do with them and that they were going to allocate them. Caroline, you guys actually, wasn't that up front in your proposal?
Absolutely. I mean, the auction model is in our contract, yeah.
Marilyn, what you're saying is we just ought to suggest some guidelines to make sure when they have these groups of names that they provide adequate information, including why they're doing it, how they're going to allocate them, if they are, et cetera, like that. Is that correct?
That, I think that's correct, and I'd ask Tamara if that generally is
correct. Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, it's interesting, Chuck, you just asked Caroline Greer, hey, don't you have a way for allocating them, and didn't you allocate them? And
no,
and
what I was asking was, was that in their proposal up front?
Right,
yeah.
But exactly. But the interesting thing is Caroline's answer would be very different than Tarian's answer for Dot Travel, and that's where there's no consistency. Dot Mobi, they had a procedure for posing names that were reserved. They did explain how they were going to allocate the names, and they are going forward in allocating those names. Dot Travel, they have no idea how they're going to allocate those names. It's been 2 years. They haven't allocated any names. They still have no plans to allocate them. They still don't know how they're going to allocate them. And there was no procedure for opposing names.
So what you're suggesting maybe or thinking is that in cases like that where they didn't communicate it up front, they didn't have a procedure, that if and when they do, that should be put to public comment?
I'm not saying if and when they do. I think that they should. I think that during that contractual period, they should have to explain how they're going to allocate them, and it should be open for public period at the same time that the actual reserve names are being that the actual premium names are being decided upon.
Tamara, it's Marilyn. I'm going to offer a modifier to that, though, and use dot name as an example.
Yeah.
I generally am not in disagreement with you, except that I think we do have to provide flexibility for learning over time.
Right.
And then, Chuck, I would say that probably the funnel process would be the appropriate way to deal with allocation methodologies for such special categories.
Uh-huh.
This is Patrick. Can I add something?
Go ahead, Patrick, and then I'll come back to you, Marilla.
With Dot Travel, they've been advertising on their website that they're running a public comment period on a proposal for premium name auction. They have not yet submitted a proposal to ICANN, and it's not in their agreement, but they could propose through the funnel to have a premium name auction service for the names that Tamara mentions. So it's something we could see in the near future since they're running this. Apparently the comment period's already ended. So I would expect that they'll have an announcement about these premium names very soon.
And Patrick, we should just be clear that we're saying it is the registry and their website that does not in any way change the need for future work or public comment at the ICANN level, right?
That's sort of the problem right there. So, I mean, people would know maybe to look for public comment period when they see a new name being proposed. Who's going to go 2 years later be watching the Dot Travel website to see whether or not they have a public comment period?
Sure, but Tamara, the same thing happened on Dot Name. So maybe these are the kinds of questions we need to ask ourselves, Chuck, and that is, what kind of public notice or alert is needed to inform people broadly if a registry, you know, plans to have stage released, as we might call this,
mm-hmm.
And does the funnel process provide both flexibility to the registry but enough notice to the community?
Are you still there?
I think I'm through.
Oh, okay.
That's a good point.
Okay.
This is Greg Chatman. I just wanted to, if I could add one more thing, which is I think the concern is, you know, especially about around Dot Travel, is just kind of that if there is no framework or parameters, I do think that frameworks and parameters can allow a lot of flexibility, what you end up with is something that could be a de facto reserve name just because there's no requirement that the names ever become released. And if a registry releases over, you know, has 3,000 premium names and releases three of them a year, it will not be in our lifetime that all of them are released. But I think there needs to be, you know, some definition up front, and it needs to be something reasonable, or else they function as reserve names kind of through a backdoor process, and I think it's partially what we're trying to do here is to close a loophole and make sure that to the extent these are not reserve names, they do not function as such. And so if we want to kind of keep them out of our statement of work, we have to make sure that they don't wander into our statement of work by accident.
Okay.
You know, Chuck, I'm just going to make one other point. You know, the irony here that maybe some of us, myself, was missing, I went and looked at some of the names. All these names are allocated in .net and .org and .com.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we should call them strings maybe. So really, to fail to release them, generic phrases like this or generic words like this, to fail to release them by the registry in the sponsored category, you know, we may actually be missing something because it seems to me it's going to be in the registry's interest to find a way to release it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, yeah.
Yeah, but I guess we're to the, yes, this deserves more work, huh?
Yeah, although I don't think we're as far away as I thought we were a few minutes ago. I think some good communication has happened, and I think we'll let Tamara and Mike and Caroline see if they can come up with something, and it may be more work, but keep in mind when we recommend more work going forward, let's give some guidelines to things to explore and so forth. So I think that's something. Now, Caroline, we jumped in and didn't really give you a chance to give your own report on this third category. Did you want to add anything?
No, I mean, I think we've touched on everything there. And
okay, good.
I mean, Tamara and I weren't, we didn't have divergent views as such. Tamara, I think, just wanted to go further than where I thought the group should sign on.
And just one comment. Marilyn brought up the .name situation, and it's a really good example because the .name TLD, as they originally proposed it, really struggled for a while. And I think that both Hagen and Gear, the president and CEO, would tell you that. But because of the flexibility, and they went through good processes that were publicly communicated and everything to make changes. You know, they went through the RSTEP recently, et cetera. But the flexibility then, I think, has really allowed them to improve their business model. Things that they didn't foresee up front. So the flexibility is a really good point.
Yeah, and actually I'm curious, just looking at the elements I proposed, do you think any of those would have kept that name from having the flexibility that they need?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
And actually a lot of the things I proposed are things that Moby did in fact do, so Caroline, you know, is a good person to weigh in.
Yeah.
I think it can be difficult to put an exact time limit on something.
Well, but what if it's 5 years? You know, I mean, just some kind of time limit.
Or it's within 5 years, or the registry is required to at least apply for an update to extend it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that, I guess that's why I allowed flexibility. I didn't say what the time limit should be, but there should be some kind of reasonable time limit on it.
Okay, and as regards the first one there, the WIPO recommendation, I mean, is that something we want to delve into for other registries as well? I mean, that was specific to .mobi at the time.
Well, how did that work for you?
Well, we had a period within which trademark holders were allowed to apply to have their premium names removed from our premium name list in line with certain criteria, and they applied to WIPO, and WIPO administered that entire process. And then we allocated any remaining names, or we will allocate any remaining names on our premium name list. So that was a brand new process.
Yeah, but do you think that worked well? I mean, WIPO seems like the right. I mean, you definitely wouldn't want the registry to be making that decision. The idea is to have an outside third party deciding that. And to me, WIPO seems like the correct governing board. Although I would, you know, I'm open to public. I'm curious if you think that process works.
I think we're going to have to get legal advice on that, because when you start making WIPO a deciding body for issues within ICANN, it's one thing with regard to the UDRP, which is the formal process that WIPO is one of the players in, but let's not go there right now as far as discussing what that might be. So we have to be a little bit cautious there, I think.
Chuck, this is Mike. If I could comment on that as well.
Okay.
Tamara, as I've stated, I worked with Moby in their premium name challenge process and, in fact, worked with Affilius in their Sunrise process. I agree with Chuck. I think we want to be very cautious about dictating something. In connection with Afilias, with their Sunrise Challenge process, Afilias made a determination to use exclusively WIPO as the provider. As Caroline had just said, it was the decision of .MTLD to use WIPO. So I think Chuck raises valid points. We want to be very careful about dictating. If in fact, though, a registry should want to use a non-entity or someone who doesn't, if you will, have the qualifications, that is something that perhaps either in the their application, or as Marilyn said, a funnel request, this could be brought up and discussed, and I think that would be a fair comment. As for myself, as a former WIPO panelist, I agree that they are probably one of the most uniquely qualified organizations in the world to handle this subject matter, particularly when you get into names that potentially may have generic, I hate to use that word, but there are a lot of nuances in trademark law that I think need to be taken into account, bona fide use, particularly when you look at some of the gaming in .eu. So, again, I agree, WIPO is the body, but I would feel much more comfortable allowing the businesses to make that decision as opposed to this working group mandating that body.
Okay, we need to move on, but Caroline, I know you're going to have to get off.
Yeah.
What we need by end of the day on Wednesday is some final recommendations, and do you have enough, and some of those can be more work, okay, more work's needed, that's okay, but do you have enough information to finish those off by Wednesday?
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah, okay. Good. And everybody, I know we've taken a long time, but I think this is time well spent, and I think there's some very constructive things said from a variety of points of view that are very helpful in terms of us understanding and working on this issue.
Thanks, everyone, for your comments.
Just give a very quick comment on this.
Yes.
Regarding the time limit that was mentioned, I think that really doesn't make sense if you take into account IDNs, because IDNs may be released much later, and premium names or whatever reserve names could happen there as well.
Thank you, Edmund. Okay, and remember to identify yourself, especially if you haven't been talking recently,
right,
so that the transcribers can get the names down. Thanks, Edmund. Okay. We're now going to jump to the tag domain names report, and I sent out a copy over the weekend that had a few more changes. Let me very quickly, and Patrick, feel free to jump in on this with me anytime you want. So we're going through that report. It hasn't changed too much, but I did change the format of the recommendations and used a table format that we'll come back to later in our agenda, I hope, as a way of making it real clear that we cover all categories that we need to cover with regard to recommendations, top level, second level, third level, if applicable, both ASCII and IDN. And the recommendations really haven't changed in this last iteration. For ASCII names, we're recommending that no more work is needed. For each IDN GTLD proposed, the applicant must provide both the ASCII-compatible ACE form of an IDN A valid string, an A label, and in local script form, Unicode of the top-level domain, that's the U label. And that terminology is from the latest Internet draft that John Clemson posted just in the last few weeks. For the top level with regard to IDN, we're again suggesting that no more work, we don't believe any more work is needed, and it's really, as far as recommendations then, it's really not applicable there for IDN, because the whole idea of a tag name is related specifically to DNS, which only allows ASCII characters. So in IDN versions of the ASCII characters, it doesn't even make sense from a technical point of view. At the second level for ASCII, again, we don't think any more work is needed, and we think that the current requirement be reworded to say all labels with hyphens in the third and fourth character positions and then the two examples. And then we added, without standardization activity and appropriate IANA registration. And the added words are in italics if you have the document in front of you. And then, of course, we have the same qualifier that names starting with XN dash dash may only be used if current IDN guidelines are being followed. Now, that italic wording added was added at a suggestion that came out in our in-person meeting from Aubrey. Aubrey, would you like to just explain that to everybody?
Yeah, the quick explanation on it is, at the moment, we're really only using one possible combination of the tag names. I believe that as software engineers start to put support or the exit in their routines for tagging, there may be other forms of tagging created. Now, one of the objections that have been mentioned by Bruce was that we didn't want people willy-nilly adding, you know, new tags. And so basically this is saying, if the use of a new tag type is standardized, and if that is properly registered through IANA, as all new protocol types need to be registered, then that should not be excluded, but it should be acceptable. So it's really taking the prohibition against new tags and saying, except for when we do the right stuff, define a new way of doing something, define a protocol, register it correctly, et cetera, and then it's okay.
Thank you. And then, again, at the second level for IDNs, it's not applicable because of the particular requirement, and that's the unique thing about the tag name categories versus all the other reserve name categories that we're working on. And then at the third level, we basically just said, you know, if it's done at the second level, then if it's a registry that is registering names at the third level, the same requirement should apply. And, again, we don't think, Patrick and I don't think, that any more work is needed on this. On this particular one, let me open it up to questions.
I had a question.
Yes, Aubrey?
I thought I had suggested the same wording for the second. For the second level.
That was the second level that
okay, I... Okay, because it was basically applied at both first and second. So
you're saying top level. I see what you're saying.
Right, I had suggested it at both levels because those are the two levels that counted, but that same, if something is defined, then it should be. Otherwise, but...
Oh, I got you. Yeah, no, bear with me here. I'm trying to make sure I have this straight. I'm looking at the wording.
Because I had sent you some wording.
Yeah, it wouldn't. In other words, are you suggesting at the top level we should have that same italicized addition?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's what I thought you were saying. I'm just clarifying.
And then I also had one other question about the rest of the stuff when you build a queue.
Okay. Rich. That was a different recommendation. Second level. Looks like.
I sent you language for both, and it was the same language in each case.
Yeah, and I think probably I need to fix this, because I see the only recommendation that I have in there right now for top is the one where in the application, I need to add that that language to my top-level recommendation. Yeah, okay, I got that. Okay, good catch. Any other questions or comments?
On everything or just that?
On everything.
Okay, I have one.
Yeah. I have a question.
Okay, Sophia, after Aubrey.
Okay, mine related to the use of the A name and U name. I totally accept using that terminology. However, since it's in an Internet draft, which is an ephemeral document, I think we need to include the definition somewhere, in a footnote in something.
Okay, run that by definition of what?
Of A name, U name.
Oh, okay.
We're using the new terminology, but it's from an ID. IDs are ephemeral. We don't know that it will actually end up being formally adopted in an RFC. So if the ephemeral document that defines it disappears, then it's a dangling term. So I'm recommending that we have a footnote that defines them.
It has a footnote and
reference. Okay, sorry, I don't have the document in front of me.
And it references the document. And in fact, I think I even referenced the
Okay, that's cool, because
section.
You can always
yeah,
find the old
section 3.1.1.1.
Okay, thank you, sorry.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, Sophia.
Okay, Chuck. First of all,
Sophia Bakella here. This is my personal view. It is not, I just want to clarify, it's not the IGN working group's view, since I'm a liaison. And this is the posting I sent to the RN working group earlier, yesterday, I think. So one of the clarifications, the CC hyphen hyphen that you had asked me, Chuck,
yeah, what
is
CC
the character, character hyphen hyphen.
Oh, that's character, character. Okay, yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, that's Ram was referring to it, CCHH kind of thing in the email, so that I picked that up.
Okay.
So anyway, I guess it's easier to start with the recommendation, which is to say that no one should be registering the word, you know, XN dash dash, which is the IDN label, right? And so, so far we've registered a list of characters, ASCII characters, but since the report acknowledges that as well, since we never know when a language is to contain, you know, an XN dash dash, because we're, you know, dealing with various languages in the translations.
What do you mean when a language, you're saying X, when a language contains XN dash dash, you mean like English?
That English. We never know, because the Unicode is, you know, ASCII, right?
Okay.
So the rules has to be there for both labels. So, you know, the two combination alphabets with any two combination alphabets with hyphen hyphen should be reserved in this case, then. That's what we're saying, because there's no way of telling, you know, the translations of the XN. So,
yeah, any name that starts out with character, character, dash, dash is reserved. Any ASCII version of that is, yes.
Right. What I'm suggesting is XN, because the Unicode is an ASCII database, and the IDNs are going to be deployed at the TLD level and other levels, third, you know, second, third. Such registrations at the registry level, they're represented in ASCII, right, using the ASCII-compatible encoding. So when we map the IDN label into the ASCII prefix by the XN dash dash, any other changes, which I think the report also notes, like the alternative characters followed by the hyphen, like the BQ and the XN and so forth, need to be protected. So, you know,
are you saying that something needs to be protected that isn't covered by the current recommendation?
Right, right.
And I don't understand what that is.
That is the XN dash dash and BQ dash dash that's already covered. And
no, it's not just XN dash dash and BQ dash dash that's covered. Those are just examples. The recommendation we're making is that the current requirement be extended to the top level and third level, but all labels beginning with character, character, dash, dash are reserved.
So Chuck, it's Marilyn, so that would be AA dash dash, AC dash dash,
yes.
BQ dash dash.
Yes.
And one.
Okay.
Okay, let me just ask. But they're reserved at the third and fourth level, right?
Not
that's
the
what
fourth.
You have in your recommendation.
Not the fourth. First of all, there's no registry that registers names at the fourth level. There's just a couple that do it at the third level.
No, I'll tell you what it is. The fourth character we're talking about.
Dash?
The character, as you have it in your, you know, in the metrics there. We're registering the XN dash dash and BQ dash dash, which is up to four characters. But what is, you know, because XN dash dash and BQ dash dash or any character dash dash is stored in an ASCII format in the Unicode. And most of the browsers, when you are you translate it into the different languages, when it's an IDN format, most of the browsers don't recognize those reservations, you know, at the Unicode level, then the translation is still displayed in ASCII. And so therefore, for example, if we have XN dash dash or any characters dash dash, which is an ace identifier of IDNs in the middle of the word, for example, then those are not protected. Those are really IDN labels, but then they come off as ASCII if they are in the middle of
Now, what do you mean that an XN dash dash is an IDN label.
Well, XN dash dash, and those are S identifiers, right?
XN dash dash is simply an ASCII prefix.
For an IDN identifier.
In the DNS, when that is seen, it's a flag to say, hey, this is an IDN and we need to follow the standard protocols for IDNs.
Okay, what is that XN dash dash is in the middle, not the first two the characters? They are in the middle.
And there's no XN dash dash at the beginning?
No, right now it's at the beginning, right, Chuck?
No, okay. I'm trying to understand what you're saying. Are you asking me if there's an XN dash dash somewhere else in a string besides at the beginning?
Right.
Now, if the string where that happens starts out with XN dash dash...
No, if the string doesn't... It's not that it starts out. If the string is in the middle...
Oh, okay, so it doesn't... That's what I was trying to clarify. Okay, so it's in the middle, it's not at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. Why would that need to be reserved?
Because nowadays, you know, the older browsers, except few, do not recognize the XN dash dash as an IDN identifier.
Well, they're going to look for the IDN identifier when the applications come up to speed on this at the beginning. They're not going to recognize one later in the string as an IDN identifier.
So what I'm suggesting is, why not reserve that, period?
Why would we need to do that? That's what I don't understand.
Because...
Can anybody help here? Is there a reason to do that?
Well, this is Tim. I'm not quite sure I understand either, but, it could show up in an email address or a URL in a browser, but I'm not sure how we would reserve those. I mean, the browser or the email client or whatever is still going to only recognize as the domain the part that starts with XN dash dash. Or it won't, but I don't know how the registries would reserve that from showing up in an email address or a URL string.
Yeah, functionally it'd be very difficult, you're right. But again, why? What value would be served? I still don't have the answer to that question.
Okay, let me give an example, Chuck. For example, in Netscape, Mozilla, and IE7, they can take, for example, a registration which is ASCII IDN XN dash dash. For example, if we use 55QX5D and display Chinese simplified, that is stored as an ASCII. But the translation could be a Chinese IDN, right? So the browser and location bar. But some browser applications simply don't have the Chinese character set, let's say. So if we're registering an IDL level in whatever script that they may be and not at the level of the hidden PUNA code, which will change eventually, may change, like the BQ and the XN.
It's unlikely, they're saying, but yes.
Okay, then it's not protected. We are, that IDN version.
What's not protected?
IDN version of the label, the TLD or the second, third level, is not going to be protected.
I'm totally lost.
I guess I'm not explaining it very well.
Let me make this recommendation, unless somebody else can help here. Would you see, since you're a member of the IDN working group,
right?
Would you check within that working group and see if... and test your thinking on them and then get back to us before our meeting on Thursday, because I am totally at a loss to what you're concerned about. And it may just be me, because I'm not a technical person, but it's not making sense to me. So if you would... And maybe, if you get clarification and it's not a problem, just let us know. Or if members of your group and Rom in particular as the chair think that there's something else there, please communicate it to us before Thursday.
Okay.
Does that work?
Yeah, that would work.
This is Barbara. Can I ask a question just to understand what the question is?
Sure.
Basically, are we asking that the string dash dash, that the pattern dash dash be protected anywhere it shows up in a label?
Yes.
Okay,
that's what we're saying.
I don't understand why, but I wanted to make sure that that's what we were saying, that basically you want to reserve that pattern anywhere, that you never put two dashes together.
Character, character, dash, dash, and in the middle.
Right,
yes,
so
anywhere,
that means pattern, dash, dash, anywhere in a string.
Right.
Yeah, and of course what Aubrey's saying is that really what you're saying is that a double dash is anywhere in the label would be reserved, because you would all, you know, you're going to have all kinds of character characters throughout. They're going to have to be character characters like that. So.
But anywhere in the middle, it's not necessarily the first, second, third, fourth character that we say.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand now what you're asking. I don't see what that would accomplish, but that may just be me.
I think what would help is that if we had some actual examples, you know, visual examples maybe of what you're talking about, and then, you know, how that might pose
yeah.
a problem.
Yeah, so if you'll go back to the IDM working group and that, and see if you can we can come up with something, either that maybe it's not an issue, or if it is, please provide some understanding so that we can understand it as well.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or comments on this report? And, Aubrey, what I will do is I'll fix that. It was a good point you brought up on the top level. There should be two parts to that. One of them is the one that's there now, and the fact that you have the same required at the top level in terms of reservation as you do at the second, with the added wording that you added.
Okay.
Now, with that in mind, are there any other concerns about this report? So that hopefully on Thursday we can just simply, you can see that change, and assuming that, and depending on what Sophia comes back with, we probably should be done with this one. Okay? All right, the next one, another one of the low-hanging fruit, hopefully, is the Nick Who Is and Dub-Dub-Dub. Timothy Denton, you're on.
Let me just get you off mute here. Nick Who Is. The only changes I think were made. Let me just get that open again. Sorry. We got as far as the consultations with experts, and I have not received a large number of consultations back with registries if they're to be considered experts. But on the whole, there was some support for keeping them reserved. And no particular support for unreserving them. Some people have various particular situations that they describe, and that was sort of the extent of it. But I'd like to get my most up-to-date ones. So what, therefore, it was just a question of completing our consultations with experts or with other registries, hoping that more would come in. But on the whole, yes, we received very clear responses from .org, .travel, .name, and .travel and .arrow to keep them reserved. We have not heard anything else in contrary of that view.
Okay. And so in your particular case, can you summarize your straw recommendations?
Yeah. It's basically that these three names stay reserved until the registries indicate otherwise, and the registries in question should be polled as to their opinions on the reservation of these three names. That polling is continuing, but I don't even know really whether that needs to be done any longer, in the sense that they have been polled, so perhaps the best is just to say that these three names continue to be reserved.
And what, at all levels, at top, second, and in cases where it's applicable, the third?
I haven't done that specifically, and I am ready to take direction on that from those who know better.
Anybody want to comment on that? I'll comment. It seems to me that this is a natural to extend to the top level. I don't believe that we're going to want www or who is or Nick registered at the top level, because I think that would create user confusion. I don't think we even need an expert to tell us that, but I would refer to others in that regard.
So you want to say at top level, second and top, second
third
and third level?
Third if applicable.
It's Marilyn. Third if applicable, and why don't you just ask Kim Davies, right? Or I have that right, Patrick? Kim is the when you say we don't probably need an expert, do we? I'm happy not to have an expert on this, but do we need to ask the head of IANA?
You mean David Conrad?
David Conrad, sorry.
But Kim would probably be okay too.
Yeah.
We did hear from Kim Davies earlier.
Right.
I
thought we had.
Yeah. And let me just, that was to generally to the few that they want to
And
to
that's it. Not in your, is that in your consultation with experts section, Kim?
No, I'm confused. It was in relation to INN names that he was consulted. It wasn't in relation to this.
Why don't you fire off an email to him and just add that to your expert consultation.
Okay.
I think we probably can pretty well predict the answer, but it would be good. And emphasize it at the three different levels. So we're clear on that.
Yep.
Okay.
So that would be then that the reservation, the recommendation that these three names should stay reserved at the top, the second, and if applicable, the third levels.
Yes. Okay. Now, any disagreement with that, or any the comment on experts, Marilyn's appreciated, and I think we can beef up the report in that regard. But any questions with that?
Chuck, this is Mike. The only question I would have is that the current reservation at the second level does allow a registry to use them. So I'm assuming you're just, if you will, continuing the current legal language restriction regarding that.
Tim?
Mike, I need to understand better what you're saying.
What I'm saying is right now,
yeah.
Under the current language,
yes.
It is possible for a registry to use nick.tld. In fact, co-op uses it. If you go to nick.coop, that resolves. So that is done. The way that name is resolved is under the language in the contract. Now, we've talked about using the definition of reserved previously as meaning never being allocated. Okay? In our earlier discussion today, we said we were looking at a definition where reserve means would never be allocated.
I don't think we agreed on that definition.
Well, okay, it was still being discussed. So I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm not trying to be difficult here.
No,
I just want to make sure we don't have unintended consequences here.
Your question is very important. Let me see if I can clarify and see, Tim, if this makes sense to you. First of all, registries are not authorized to use these at the top level. So in your recommendation, you need to make sure that we don't do what Mike's suggesting there. But at the second level, his point is very good. Keep in mind, we shortened the name of this because it wasn't very useful to say names reserved by registries when really we're talking about three specific names for registry use. And that's at the second level. So you need to, I think, follow the same language at the second level that exists now.
So in other words,
the top level is a little bit different. You agree, Mike?
Yeah, exactly. And I fully agree. At the top level, these names should be reserved. We're in total agreement. And again, I think you better articulated my concerns at the second level that it just follow or track the current language that provides that flexibility.
Yeah, in other words, we don't want to say that Nick and who is should be reserved at the second level, period. They're reserved for registry use only at the second level, just like the current requirement says. Did I say that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
So I would say that in relation to at the second level, the existing contract language should continue to apply.
Yes.
that is the second part of the recommendation then.
Yeah, and I don't think that one applies to the third level. Is there any reason to consider this one even? Is the third level kind of non-applicable in here? Or should it be, for again, whenever we're talking third level, only talking about a small number, maybe only two right now, registries that register names at that level. Is there any reason to extend this one to the third level?
I wouldn't think so.
It doesn't seem like it to me either, but you make sure you ask that question of Kim and or David when you send an email to them, Tim.
Give me David's last name is?
David Conrad.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay.
So that basically now then what we have is it is recommended that these three names should stay reserved at the top, the second, and if applicable, the third level, and at the second level, existing contract language and registry agreements should continue to apply.
And I suspect that same qualifier would apply at the third level. If we did go that direction, I'm not sure we would.
Oh, this is Greg. I think those are, in fact, reserved at the third level.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, so shall at the second and third levels, the existing contract language.
At least some of them are. WWW is, I have to look back at the other two.
Yeah, okay. Good. So they actually, thanks, Greg. That's helpful. And you, of course, would be aware of that from your working group. Very good. Anything else on this one?
This is Edmund. Just want to note that I think the original intent of reserving those three names is if in the future there's a change of the registry operator in the case of a redelegation, I mean, the new entity can use those names, so I guess it makes sense for second and third or the next level of which domains are being registered.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, Edmund. Should we, I don't know if this is needed or not, because I haven't looked at this one very closely in a while, but should we add a qualifier that should there ever be a change in registry that and the registry has registered these, that it go to the new operator?
The successor rights clause
in this is that the successor rights clause exists in all but the case of .org and .biz.
So we may want to suggest that the successor rights clause be included in our recommendation for new TLDs. Is that right?
I think that's right, isn't it?
It seems like it to me. Because you would, Edmund's point is very well taken. If you switched registry hands, you would want these names, if they were registered and used by the registry, to go with the new registry operator.
So the language would be, if there's a new registry operator, these names should continue. These should be reserved for the TLD, not for the company, or
well,
what?
Okay, back up a second. Okay, registries can use these three names at the second level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if a registry does, and that registry operator is removed, and a new one comes in, these three names,
yeah,
should go to the new registry operator, is what we're saying.
Yes.
Okay, so the new registry operator would have the right to use these. The old registry operator could not keep them for their own use. Does that
yes,
make sense?
Right.
Okay.
And that's why the contract for instance, with affiliates has all these affiliates names, because those the affiliates would keep, and in the case if info is redelegated, those...
Now, are these three ones, Edmund, included in that list? As well as in the section we're looking at in reserve names?
I think they're in different lists.
Okay, all right. Okay, I think we've got this issue covered unless somebody thinks differently.
No, this is Greg. Just one clarification. It just seems that www is the only one of the three. And perhaps in .name, since Reg and Nick are both first names, it's of a sort.
Oh, yeah.
It's not entirely coincidental.
So maybe you don't want to do it at the third level. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I think www is already handled at the third level in Appendix L, I think it is, to those particular registries.
Now, would we want a whois.pro.org I was thinking who is at the third level. Who is .us.pro or something like that? Would that have the same problem with regard to confusion and who is, or do we care?
This is Tim.
Go ahead, Tim.
All right. I'm just wondering, I don't have the information in front of me, so I can't see it. I'm just wondering how the reserve at the third level works. I mean, if, you know, for example, GoDaddy.com, I mean, we have whois.GoDaddy.com. We could actually do www.GoDaddy.com or nick.GoDaddy.com. So where is the, how does the reservation at the third level work?
It doesn't apply, first of all, for .com, Tim, because meaning Verifying, we don't register names at the third level, okay? But in .pro they do register some names at the third level.
It's only, this is Greg again, it's really only where the second level domain is functionally really a TLD, so that Denton.name is for all the Dentons in the world and isn't owned by any particular Denton.
Right.
And you would be able to register Tim.Denton.name. So other than those, and there may be others in the future, where the second level TLD is or second level domain is not acquirable and really functions as a quasi top level domain, that the registration or reservation at the third level even becomes an issue.
Thanks, that's helpful, and I understand your point with regard to Nick. Nick.Denton.name, you know, that could be a valid name, and so maybe it's not a problem there. And I guess it's a little tougher question. You can ask David and or Kim Davies, Timothy Denton, with regard to whether they think there's any need to do it at third level in TLDs like Pro and Name with regard to that. Okay, and noting, as Greg pointed out, that it's already, www is already reserved there.
Here's what I will do that. I just want to point out that at the moment, the recommendations now would read, it is recommended that these three names should stay reserved at the top, the second, and, if applicable, the third levels. At the second level, and if applicable, the third levels, the existing contract language in registry agreements should continue to apply. And if the registry operator changes, the three names should be reserved for the use of the new registry operator. So those are the, I will send this out to the list shortly. And we can work from that, and I will consult Davies and Conrad in relation to reservations, the questions you have asked about reservations at the three levels, et cetera.
Any comments on that? Okay. Moving on. 12 minutes left. I'm going to skip to names reserved at the third level, Greg. And I think you just sent a new report, didn't you?
I do.
Okay. Do you want to go over that for us, please?
Sure. The new report isn't very functionally different from the prior one, although it's been reorganized to be more consistent with our structure.
Now, you sent two documents. Explain what those are.
Oh, the first document is a clean document. The second one, since I'm a lawyer in a private law firm, I had to use a comparison software because
excellent. Okay, that's fine. That's helpful.
And it just shows the changes that were made, the additions and deletions.
Good. Okay.
Rather than using track change. Okay. Main difference, we have reached out to experts. We've had a very preliminary response with regard to the need or reason for the third level reservations. Initially, our thinking was that these were more required at the technical level. We've been told, at least from the point of view of one registry, that it's more of a security concern. That, for instance, somebody, if someone could register www.denton.name, they could purport to be the registry operator, or you know, the quasi registry operator for that. Second level quasi TLD. Other than that, we're still waiting for. We sent out a more detailed request for a response to our experts from .name and .pro. Haven't yet gotten a response from them. Dan and I will be following up on that.
If you will send me a CC me or something on that, I'll try and ping the guys that are involved there and see if I can't push it a little
Great.
Bit. I don't
we'll
know
send
that
you
I'll be
a copy
successful
of that.
Either, but I'll be glad to try.
Sure. Our recommendations are unspectacular. That there really be no needs to be no change in the way these are handled.
Okay. Any comments on that? Questions? Are these are kind of these are really back to the business model type issue, are they not, Craig?
It is in essence back to the business model, although from a kind of security and technical point of view, everything here, kind of everything we discuss in every other domain at the second level is at least potentially applicable in these domains at third level,
mm-hmm.
because the second level is not functioning as a typical second level domain, but really functioning, you know, as a TLD, you know, for instead of having .med, we have med.pro, but med.pro really functions the way .med would if indeed they wanted to have a proliferation of TLDs.
Yeah, okay.
So everything else kind of drops down a level. So, for instance, the IANA ICANN name issue exists at the third level here, but we just indicate that whatever is being recommended at the second level kind of me too at the third level.
Okay.
Rather than try to write something separate about ICANN and IANA.
Okay. All righty. And your STAR recommendation, you can clean that up a little bit in terms of, you know, like you said, this is low-hanging fruit that is relatively easy to decide. If everybody, I'm talking to the whole group now, would just kind of clean out that kind of language that was needed in the early versions of our report. But the closer you can have the wording in the reports to final version, the easier it'll be to consolidate them into one final report for the whole group. So that's just a very minor little point in that regard. So is there any disagreement with the straw recommendation that this working group is advocating?
Can I ask a question? This is Aubrey.
Yes, Aubrey.
Hi. Okay, I don't have it open in front of me. So is the recommendation that these things be treated at the third level the same way they are at the second level?
In those instances, right?
In those instances where there's something reserved at the second level and where the second level is acting as a virtual, as a registry, as a virtual TLD, call it.
I don't know that is exactly what you have recommended.
No, that is not.
I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, this is Greg. That's not exactly what I recommended. What we recommended is that the current framework that is in place for .name and .pro be continued on for others that function in this regard. Not that every possible reservation that exists at the second level should be brought down to the third level, because that would actually put in quite a bit more stuff at the third level than is currently reserved.
Okay. Then I do have a question, which is, I mean, I sort of changed my opinion as I was listening to you talk and understood the security level of if these things act as virtual TLDs. I know that's not exactly what you called them, but if these things act as virtual TLDs, then why wouldn't the logic of being the same all the way through hold?
Well, I think that we would have to look at the logic of each of the second level reserved names and see if they really do extend to the third level, because I don't think that all of them are there for security
okay.
reasons.
That makes sense, Aubrey?
Yeah. I need to think about it some more, but it doesn't.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you send, as you look at that further, why don't you send the working group members on this one, any additional comments? It's Dan Doherty and Greg Shatton are the ones working on this, so that would be great.
And Chuck, I could think here, this is Greg again, this is kind of an interesting thought question for every one of the other groups, which is to the extent that your reserve name category is not a reserve name at the third level, should it be?
Well, and in fact, we're asking each of them to make recommendations in that regard already. You recall the one we just talked about.
Correct.
At the third level, the recommendation is to the extent that names are reserved at the third level, you know, continue the requirement. Now, if we don't want that, we need to talk about that, like the NIC example that was provided. But I think Timothy Denton's going to get a little more information on that. So I'm not sure that you follow me, Greg. I think that unless we don't want other people making recommendations at the third level.
No, I'm actually saying quite the opposite, which is that if there are recommendations to be made at the third level, we should make sure, that, as we just did with Nick Red and Dub, that we do think about them at the third level.
Yeah, exactly.
And perhaps, you know, appropriate references in our final report be made where the recommendation is to do something other than continue the current status quo.
Right. Any other comments or questions on that? Okay. What I'm going to do now, our 2 hours is just about up, and so there's a few things we've got to that I've got to cover if people have to start jumping off. First of all, timeline remaining meetings week. Thursday, this coming March 8th, and Thursday the 15th are the only meetings we have scheduled right now. I had really hoped that we made more progress today, although I'm not disappointed in what we've done. We still have several reports to go through that are more complicated reports. And then the deadline for our approval of a final report is the 15th of March so that we can submit it on the 16th and do any final editing in that regard. I have proposed that we change the time of the meeting on 15th of March to move it a little earlier. And it would what I'm suggesting, and I sent an email in this regard. I apologize for my confusion with time zones and daylight savings times and everything else. I have been thoroughly confused. I think I now have a handle on it, thanks to Glenn's help. But what we're proposing is that the meeting start at 4 p.m. GMT or UTC, whichever you prefer, on the 15th. And you can convert it to your time frame. I did send out an email that had all the time zones, and Glenn confirmed that I got it right this time, for each of the remaining meetings, so please take a look at that. The rationale behind that is that will give us, that'll put us starting our meeting 3 hours before the council meeting, so that if we do have to go over 2 hours, we can. And also for those of us that are on the council meeting, that hopefully there will be some break between the meetings. Are there any objections to that? And I realize that for some people that means real early. But any problems with that that are serious? Okay. Then we won't spend any more time on that. Another thing, I don't know how many of you looked at the report I sent on the tag names, but to make sure that we're complete in covering all the areas that we need to cover, I used a table format for the tag reservations that actually breaks it down into level, meaning top, second, or third, type, ASCII or IDN, so within each level you have two types, and then a column that says, do we need more work? And some of them we're going to say yes, and you can add text to what that is down below the table, and then the recommendations associated with each of those. Now, I confess that the tagged one's a little bit easier than some, but I'm curious, is this a reasonable format to make sure that we capture everything and that we can, and that the people using this report can easily see what's being recommended? Keep in mind that you're going to need some narrative in some cases beside what's in the table, especially where there's additional work required. Any thoughts on that? Should we follow this format? Would everybody be comfortable following this format and your recommendations? Anybody think there's a better way to go? Patrick, you had some thoughts on that. Do you want to share anything?
Well, I thought it might be complicated to add a table like this for some of the other categories, but if you don't see it as a problem, we could try it.
Well, some of the categories I think we need to break down, like I think I said to you in an email. Like, for example, I think single character and two character need to have separate tables.
Right. Yes,
We've done that.
Yeah. So you've already done that. Now, if we did that, does it still work? I mean, it doesn't happen. Just because I proposed this doesn't mean we need to follow it. It was.
Yes, Patrick, a question. Patrick, you know, earlier we had a comment column if something didn't fit. So if it didn't naturally fit, couldn't we maybe consider using it for the majority and then just maintain a comment column to explain why the answer is not in the – because this is at a glance, and at a glance documents are very helpful in giving summary reviews of what the outcomes are.
Yeah, and rather than adding another column, because I think then I'm assuming that this document will be a letter-sized document rather than in landscape, and so adding another column is going to make for the recommendations, which will be quite a bit more words, maybe a little too narrow. But you could easily add footnotes or asterisks and comments below. And so forth to keeping the table fairly concise so that it's real clear. Now, by the way, in the case of these other second level names, they already have three categories, and I would suggest a different table for each category. And each of you could have more than one table if it makes sense. I'm not sure it will in some cases, but thoughts? Would you rather just do text type recommendations? If you do, we need to make sure we cover all three levels and both types, ASCII and IDN.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. I think we need to make a narrative recommendation, but don't we need to – I thought this would be like a summary tool. That's
fine. That's good. And that's why I said you can add text in addition to this. This can be the summary table. That's maybe a good way to put it. Okay, so then if hearing nothing else, what I'd like you to do is to use this format. Probably the easiest thing is just take the one that I've included. Unless, now to tell you what I'll do, I'll send out a clean version that doesn't have the tag name stuff and let you fill it in yourself, okay? And you can just copy the table as you have multiple tables. All right. Now, how do we... get to the rest of the reports. Let me say first of all that in our meeting on this Thursday, the primary focus is going to be on recommendations. we can talk about other things that you found out briefly, but we really need to come very close to agreeing as a group on recommendations. So to the extent then that each of you can make sure that your recommendations are as close to finish as you can get them, and that can mean in some cases that you haven't reached consensus and you give us a couple alternatives, that's okay. If you can reach some rough consensus, that's even better. It probably makes it easier on the other group. That doesn't mean we couldn't consider some changes, but we're going to really focus on recommendations on Thursday, so that we can then, at the close of our meeting on this coming Thursday, know exactly what needs to be done to have final versions of the report ready before our meeting on the 15th. Now, my next question, do we need to add another meeting to cover the reports that we did not cover, which means single and two-character names? It means... the controversial, and it means geographic. Did I leave? I think that's it, right? Oh, and then ICANN and IANA names as well.
And it's Marilyn. I would say we really need to have a discussion about those in particular that haven't been presented at all. And we have really not presented single letter and two letter at all to the group. And we probably, Tim, need to really cover controversial names in more detail than we were able to on the Saturday call.
So that comes down to, unfortunately, this is a tough week for me. The only day that I have any time available this week is tomorrow.
What time tomorrow?
Actually, fortunately, tomorrow I'm pretty flexible.
There's already two calls tomorrow. There's already an IDN and a pro.
Yeah.
There's an IDN at 6:30 in the morning, right?
6 or 6:30, but yeah.
Yeah.
And 1 of 14. And of course, if you have other calls for other jobs, there's but there's already 2 calls for ICANN and for GNSO tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if someone else can share the call on Wednesday.
Chuck, I can share a call on Wednesday if it's before, it takes place before 2 to 3:30. I'm tied up from 2 to 3:30.
EST?
EST, yeah.
Okay, so 2 to 2:30.
Which is 17, which is 7, is that 17 to 17:30?
Yeah, so I could do a call at 12, at the same time that we've moved our Thursday meeting to.
Okay.
I could do a call in that time frame. We could hear reports from these four. It's geographical.
Okay, so let me quickly go through the times of Maryland. I appreciate you volunteering for that. So that would be 4 p.m. UTC, okay? For Eastern time here in the U.S., that's 12 noon, right? For Pacific time here in the U.S., that is 9 a.m., and for I'm going to be on the road then, so I might be able to call in on a cell phone and listen. That's probably what I may try to do because I'll be driving, but I'll let you chair it, Marilyn.
Okay.
So that I'm not dangerous out on the road.
Okay.
And then let's see who else is on here. Brussels, that would be 5 p.m. Central European.
It's pretty bad for Alistair, I think.
For Alistair, it'd be 5 a.m. in the morning. Not as bad as Korea and Seoul and Hong Kong. Edmund, what time is it for you right now? Did Edmund jump off?
Right now it's 4.
4 a.m.? Thank you very much for joining us, Edmund. Cedar Rapids for Tim Ruiz is 11 a.m., I think. And did I leave anybody out? Let's see. Toronto, of course, is Eastern time. Wellington was 5 a.m. I said that. Hong Kong would be midnight, right, Edmund? So anyway, any objections to that? Glenn, are you still on?
I'm still on, Jack.
Would you send out a message to that effect?
On Wednesday?
So our Thursday meeting on the 15th, we're going to change the time so that it's UTC 4 p.m. Okay. The same time for a meeting on Wednesday of this week. Marilyn is going to chair it, and the agenda will be to cover the 4 reports that were not covered today in the same way we did it today.
Okay. I'll send out the notice, Chuck.
Thanks, everybody. I know this is a lot of work, and you all have more than full-time jobs already, so it's very much appreciated. But we are, I think, making some significant progress, and it's because of everybody's contributions.
And so, Chuck, just to recap, it's geopolitical and geographic, controversial, single letter, single and two character.
And ICANN and IANA.
And ICANN and IANA, okay. And I know we have reports for all of those that are being fine-tuned, so we'll...
Yeah, if you can get out a later version, preferably by end of the day on Tuesday,
uh-huh.
Certainly before the meeting, that would then people could pull up that report and makes it a little easier.
Okay.
Okay? Any questions about what needs to be done? Thanks, everybody. We will, I'll try and listen in on Wednesday.
Thanks.